God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a moment for our invocation. Dear God, our heavenly Father, we thank you for all given unto us. We thank you for the great gift of life we have in you. We thank you for this opportunity to come and gather together to do business for Brevard County. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom. Father, help us to work to make this a more perfect union, just as the Constitution of the United States sought to do. All that we do, we pray that would be acceptable to you and in the best interest of the citizens of this county. As we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, have you gentlemen had a chance to look at the, well, first of all, is there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Yes, there is an addition of Perlita Banks and the Sheriff's Interceptor lease agreement, which came in just a moment ago. Those have both been added.
Okay. Perlita has another obligation real soon after this meeting, so I've moved her up to second space there after
the auditor
and before EMA. She only needs a few minutes. Okay. Nance, claims? You guys have a chance to look at them?
You have, Jerry?
Yeah. Any questions?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes of claims.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Now we'll move right on to Auditor Julie Reeves. And she wants to talk a little bit maybe about our county government surplus sale. You want to look for somebody to do that?
I do. I would like to go ahead to actually find somebody to do that so that we can get the show on the road and maybe get some of our stuff emptied out.
Okay. She's asking for our approval for her to seek a provider to help us inventory these items, get them on the...
I don't have a problem with it. She's looking at it, but before we actually do it, I want to see what the numbers are.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's okay for me to go ahead and start looking for people to do this.
Do you have a particular person already in mind, or?
I haven't been able to find his card, so.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to put a BOA out on my auditor's site and see if they have.
And so the surplus we're talking about is what?
So there are storage bins that are full, and there the sheriff has cars that he wants all of his stuff done in his own world.
Yeah,
and
he's going to do his own thing.
Yeah, but he might work with this person, but he'll be on his own. Mike will have his surplus to do the same thing with, like we'll just send them their way. So, and the maintenance guys will help us with the storage.
So this has nothing to do with fleet management we talked about?
No.
Okay.
Now this is basically getting our storage units cleaned up.
Because
they're full.
There is a lot of stuff that is in my facility and barn that is not sheriff's department stuff.
Right.
I would like to see sold, like IT stuff and a whole bunch of stuff down there that we weren't happy to have it.
I'm working on it.
Gone.
That's what we
want to
do.
Okay, so just asking for permission to seek a provider to catalog inventory this and stuff to get rid of.
But we don't make the actual vote until we know how much it costs. Well, I'll make a motion to go ahead and give you permission to start looking and search for a provider.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move to Perlita.
Good afternoon. So what I am needing from you gentlemen, and you should have it in front of you, I sent you a copy via Melissa of my request. I'm needing for you to appoint someone to the Washington Township Board to replace Paul Harden, who passed away back in September of 2023. The Democrat Party chair failed to hold up his obligations. He had 30 days from the date that I gave him notification, which was more than 60 days ago, to hold a caucus and select somebody. It hasn't happened, so now the responsibility falls on your shoulders.
Okay.
So the sooner we can get that taken care of, the better. And once you have your appointment, if you could just shoot me an email and let me know, that would be great.
Okay. So that would be an appointment by the Board of Commissioners?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
When the party chair fails to hold up his obligations pursuant to IC code 3-13-11-3E.
Okay.
It falls on your shoulders to make that replacement.
And who was that party chair?
Justin Schwenk.
Just for the record, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So do you know if that's like needs to be advertised and all of that, or do they just appoint?
There is no guidance in the IC election book for that.
Okay.
However you would typically do that is perfectly fine with me.
Does it need to be a Democrat or Republican?
It makes no difference.
I think maybe the fairest way would be to advertise, just like we would for any other appointment, and see who replies, who might want it. Then we can evaluate them as a candidate and see if they're qualified and so forth. And go from there.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great
afternoon.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
All right. Okay. EMA, Chad.
So Chad's supposed to be on his phone because he had to go retrieve a couple of radios for the Eclipse event. So,
okay.
We'll see if he's there.
Are you out there, Chad? I don't see him on the list on Zoom.
Mm-hmm. He might not have gotten in yet.
We could drop him down in the agenda and see later if he's available.
That's fine.
Okay. Moving on. Mallory Rockwell, Director of Community Corrections, about an IDOC grant. Hi, Mallory.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Good.
So, Community Corrections was established in July of 1986, and since then has been funded through grant funding by the Indiana Department of Corrections. So every year, we come to the commissioners asking for a letter of support for these grants to fund our operations. This year, just like last year, we are applying not only for Community Corrections, but we are also applying for, we're asking for funding for the pretrial services officer, and we're also asking funding for the jail services coordinator as well, hoping that we might be able to get secure funding for that. Last year, we only were awarded for Community Corrections. However, they've asked that we continue to ask for additional funding for other services. So in front of you, you have a copy of the letter that I'm asking that you guys sign. And then there's two copies for you to sign, one for Julie and then one for me to have to submit with my grants.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't see a downside to this.
Do you have any numbers?
Oh. Yeah.
Whoops.
Like, in terms of what we're asking for funding?
Jail coordinator.
Like, the amount that we're asking for funding on those?
Correct.
Yeah. So, for, we'll start here with Community Corrections. For Community Corrections, we're asking for a total of $247,000 in funding. And then we are asking for the jail treatments or jail services coordinator a total of $64,000 in funding. And then for pretrial services, we're asking for a total of $56,000 in funding. Last year, we were awarded, I believe, $232,000 in funding for Community Corrections alone.
Anything specific to jail services?
We weren't awarded any monies for jail services coordinator for calendar year 2024, But we are going to continue to apply for this position and for funding because that is a very valuable position to this community that we want to continue to try to secure funding for.
Okay, thank you very much. Any discussion or questions from the audience, even? Yes?
That's even similar to what you've got to keep hammering at the door like we do with the Stellar Grant, and we're this close to the Stellar Grant.
Yes. So every year we have to apply for funding, this year is not a budget year, and so DOC and some of the professional associations for probation officers and community corrections officers has pushed, just asking for anything and everything we can for funding to hopefully show the legislature that there's an increased need for funding for these programs, because they're super important.
So appreciate what you guys do. I mean, you guys, Brad, have gone way, way, way above what should be just a normal day's work to make sure that, you know, we can acquire what we need to. I mean, we're, you know, in kind of a tough situation, but appreciate you guys.
Thank you. So yes, if I would appreciate if you guys, each of you could sign both those letters today, so that way I can get them submitted with our grants when I turn them in later this week.
Okay. We have two copies of the same thing.
Yes, they both need to be signed, so the auditor can have a copy.
Okay, very good. It's my understanding that because of community correction, that takes a lot of work off of the Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
Because you're dealing with some of the lesser offenders that otherwise might wind up in the jail.
Yeah, so community corrections provides alternative sentencing other than just jail or prison. And so we have home detention, alcohol monitoring, day reporting, and also work release, which we work with the Brad and the jail on coordinating those efforts. So we provide a lot of options to different clients that we have, to other than having to send them just to jail or prison.
Great. It's a great program in my opinion, and we get a lot of money from the state to make it work.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. All right.
So a lot of this money is going to be coming from the state in the form of grants?
Correct. Indiana Department of Corrections, yes.
Okay.
I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve the permission for them to do the grants and move forward.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Okay. The next thing on the agenda is to discuss the next step in processing the scope of business preparation and the process for bidding for the new HVAC units at the jail.
That's one. I think you said there was two.
Yeah. And then our last meeting, we reviewed the proposal from DLC for $64,000. We felt like that was a pretty high price, but once again, we don't know because that's only one bid. So I think this is my opinion. You can disagree or agree. I think we should seek out some competitive bids for this work.
So the sixty-four thousand represents them doing the scope of business, bidding out the bid, and accepting the bids, going over the bids, and also part of the project. So when we shop around, we need to make sure of that list, and I would like to go over that list with all three of you before we start putting it out there to shop around to other companies and see what they offer. This is this was not a bid process, so this was not like we opened up a bid and we gave out the price of what they were doing and then asked for other bids. This is what they said that they're, what the scope of work would be for. So we haven't actually searched around to find out if there's any others, or if this is a very competitive price, and it is inexpensive compared to the $1 million project. So
I'd like to say a few things on the board.
Sure.
I talked to DLD a little bit today about it. The last meeting, I was concerned about some issues that was assumed. It was assumed that there was no asbestos in the units. I think the jail was built in like 03, 04. They probably stopped using asbestos in the 70s. I don't think that's an issue. Another thing was about the correct size of the ACs. They was assuming that maintenance would know the correct size, if those was adequate. Do you have any problem with the ACs being adequate other than when they're not cleaned out?
You know, when they're working, they seem to be fine.
Okay, well, here's what I'm thinking. It's just a thought. I'd like to done all of them at once.
Yeah.
I think by maybe not doing the study for $64,000, if we take a look and try and do half of them, I'm hoping that the auditor can look at the money and the funds, because we just got the $863,000, you know. If we could do like half of them this year, and if the interest comes in as it did this year, next year, do the other half, because these ACs aren't going to last forever. If we can move forward and just bid out half the work, I think we could save the $64,000. It's going to be over $150,000, so we got to have some competitive bids. What do you guys think about maybe trying that direction?
How would it be funded?
That's in the, I think the money's in the general fund, but to do it all at once is pretty hard lift.
And I mean, we've seen some pretty large numbers for the whole deal.
Very large numbers.
Yeah. If we could come up with $300,000 or $400,000 out of there and do half of them this year and try to do the other half next year, as long as the bidders bid it and tell us that next year the units would be compatible. Mr. Sheriff, does that make any sense to you?
Come up to the mic, Mr. Ash, we'll get you on the recording. Thank you, sir.
We keep dragging our feet, we're going to get caught short.
Yeah, I just don't want to end up with us having a lawsuit if we go down. However, you know, I obviously don't have money in my budget to do anything like this, so whatever we can come up with is the best idea. I do hate to waste money on studies. Or, you know, that always kind of, I don't understand that always. If we can spend that towards fixing something, then I think that's always a better route.
Well, the studies.
That order it did.
What?
Is that on?
I don't think so. We can hear you. I think it's dead.
I had troubles with the studies too.
Get another one.
It's dead.
But it's my understanding that the studies, so we can move forward on getting the bond and the loans. And you have to have a study to do the bonds and loans. But if we go this way and just get, say, three bids, and we have the money in the general, I need somebody a little smarter than me to look at the money and go, yeah, you can do that. You know, we have a new financial advisor. If he could take a look, I think that's what we had Baker Tilly do.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm fine with whatever. Again, I just, you know, it's an issue that's not going to go away. So however the best way we can figure out to come up with starting to get them fixed. I know that it is a big bill, but we're going to have, you know, that building, you know, we're coming in on 20 years old, and we're going to start having things like that. So
the sooner we start moving forward, the sooner we're better on that item.
And we want to make sure that we don't drop the ball, because in case there's just one illegal immigrant comes into the jail and they aren't exactly 71 and a half degrees, because we didn't have all of them gone, and we're up to that, so we want to make sure that all that's taken care of.
We have Greg Garitas with us today, and he's been intimately involved in our budget process. He could probably tell us whether or not there's an excess $300,000-$400,000 available anywhere that would just allow the budget. Could you help us with that, Greg?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioners, and hopefully you can hear me. I guess with our challenges that we've got going forward, and you know we got another meeting coming up in April here pretty quick, but with the challenges of our payroll, I'm going to say my gut reaction is no, we do not have that amount, because we must maintain a adequate balance so that we don't have to borrow to run our operations. And so we need a general fund balance, and to do something like you're saying in two tranches, I'm pretty certain then we would not have money for payroll increases, and we would start to get fairly close to having to borrow to fund our operations. So, you know, we've been looking at this, and right now, if you put me on the spot, I'm going to say very unlikely.
Now, we're not putting you on the spot, sir. We want you to actually look at the numbers.
Right, which is what we'll do between now and our April meeting, and we'll come back with a more firm answer.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Yes, thank you, Greg.
So I just had Mike look over this, because when we meet in April, we also need to look at the scope of this work, because I think that the study has already been completed, and that is what DLC has done for us and let us know what we're doing. But Mike and I would like to read over it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think if you're going to look at it from a financial end, and I think, you know, you've got some basis there for looking at some competitive bids on equipment. Mm-hmm. We ought to review this scope and actually get a good scope before you put it out to the actual contractor to get pricing, for that way you're not getting A's and B's competing against each other, so they're all bidding on the same amount.
So what you have,
the meeting we had here, the initial walkthrough or whatever was supposed to be like $3,000 or $4,000.
Right, that's what this is for.
And that's fine. Okay, right. And you're not talking that we never agreed to the $64,000.
No. So the $64,000 is represents
more the bidding process.
Yeah, the approval of the proposal, construction documents, bidding, construction of contract award, and construction to be determined.
That's fine. So there are several items.
Yes.
There are several items on there that, you know, they make the statement of, you know, some things were assumed or were not going to perform. So you guys, we're going to talk about that and actually decide what exactly you want in the proposal, so everybody's pricing the same thing.
Right.
When's the meeting in this month for? Is there another joint meeting with council and commissioners?
Yeah.
What's the date for that?
16th. 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 Okay. Okay. And then what I'll do is I'll share this with Greg, and you guys have copies, and then I'll make sure that council has copies, and Mike and I'll open these.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Not hiding anything from anyone, but I have talked with Kevin Allen from BLN briefly about this same operation here. And because I was curious to know if there was some other way to do it or a less expensive way. And he's one of many vendors that could be chosen to do this for us. I'm not giving him any preference, but I had the opportunity to talk to him because we were talking about something else. And Kevin, could you come and just give us a brief synopsis of what maybe your company could do in this situation, since you're here?
Sure. Hi. Zero volume on there. Now, overlay.
back up.
Yeah, back way up. Okay. Again, Kevin Allen. I think I talk loud enough times, I've been told. Need that. Yeah, talking with Jerry, looking at a few things. One of the different ways to do this, with, other than the traditional design, bid, build, is what we call deferred engineering, which was where you would get into a design build with a qualified contractor that has in-house engineers. And we would basically oversee compliance. The term deferred engineering is we let that contract, that design build contractor, come up with the verify the loading, the tonnage that's required, the SEER rating, whatever, being sure that the new equipment fits the old roof penetrations, for example. And then we would just back check that, that work, doing something very similar to that down at the Ward County Recycling Center. That would be, I think that would be an alternative to what DLZ has proposed. I don't know price-wise, so I can't get into that. But I think that's an avenue that other communities are using that's more expedient, more cost-effective at times.
Thank you very much. I talked to Kevin last year about options for, say, for instance, building a new prosecutor's office. And there are other options besides just having somebody develop the plans, put it out for bid, get virtual bids, and select one. As he said, there's a design build option, there's a GMAX option, there's a build operate transfer option. So there are several options out there that could be better for us than simply bidding it out traditionally. So I'd like to look at all the options, and along with PLN, maybe we could solicit some other companies that have done this kind of work and can do it and see what we get, rather than just accepting DLCs or giving the job to Kevin. You know, let's put it out there and see what we can get back, and then we can make an informed decision. What do you think, guys?
I'll make a motion to table the DLC decision until we figure out exactly what direction we're going to go. Are you wanting to vote to put the look for other people?
Yes, I think we need to move quickly on this, and with the board's approval, I would like to solicit others to make presentations on how they could go about this.
That's fine. I'm doing that presentation. That's fine.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Well, I make a motion because instead of just stalling stuff, let's just go ahead and go.
Okay.
Right, so the motion's made.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
My second.
Okay. Any discussion further? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, gentlemen. I see that Chad is now with us, and I would put him in next on our agenda, sir. Chad Jenkins from EMA.
Hi, I see I'm on the agenda for an Eclipse briefing, but what I plan to do is just be available to answer any questions that you have, with this being our final opportunity. We were going to have our final operations briefing on Tuesday, but due to the storms that came in, we rescheduled that till Friday. So our last chance to get together and to discuss that. One question that I did get was, you know, what does the governor's declaration mean? It just enforces the state-to-state emergency management assistance compact, where states don't have to go federally to be able, you know, to request resources on the day of. I did try and look at, you know, how that would be able to benefit us since you have already declared an emergency, but this is kind of a day of thing, so if we have resources that are outstanding or critical on the day of April 8th, this just allows us to even quicker request those through the state and the state to find them from other states. So unfortunately, I tried to figure out a way to get us what they call an ambulance strike team, 5 ambulances and a chase vehicle, go ahead and send it to us today, not today, but, you know, for the incident, but that's just not the way it was going to work out for us. Other than that, I'm just rounding up some of the last minute equipment items, delivered signboards to DNR this week. I will be here on site Saturday, Sunday, and all day Monday. So any questions for me, I can answer them now, or please just send them to me via email or text, and I'll make sure everybody's still there.
The only question that I was wondering, Chad, that maybe we might want to let the department heads and elected officials know, if anyone, do you feel that keeping track of all their expenses for this event, it might be able to be refundable now that the governor has stepped in with the state of emergency?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to squint there. My speaker's way over there. It's hard to hear. I wasn't scowling at you. That's a great point. There's been nothing right now in writing, nothing communicated that says that there will be reimbursement, but absolutely. I've been trying to document everything having to do with the eclipse for the last year. You never know. When you really look at what we've spent just in time, employees attended meetings and so on, fuel to go to meetings, all that, but particularly any resources that we use up over the weekend or day up, please document that as best as possible. Keep receipts, and then if we arrive at that junction where they're seeking to see what the total cost for the event is for us, we'll quickly be able to respond to that. Thanks for pointing that out. I totally forgot about it.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Chad? Well, I can't think of any other myself. We've talked about it a lot. Now it's soon going to be on us whether we want it or not.
On and over. It's going to be over here in just a while.
I did see a projected map of the weather, and they were, at that point in time, they were saying that Texas and those southern states are going to be clouded over in all likelihood. However, they showed a break across southern Indiana where we are. And who knows?
I mean, didn't see that.
I got a coin that I'd be happy to flip. And then I can tell you for sure, but who knows?
So, Town of Nashville, Sandy has a poster up that says that even if it's cloudy out, it will still get dark.
That's right. Yeah.
So, doesn't matter.
Absolutely correct. Yep. It will get dark.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further?
3 minutes.
Can take from Chad further. Any questions for him?
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Ted. We appreciate what you do. Okay. Next on our agenda is the Highway Department report.
Do you have a handout first? Thank you. Okay, the handout I gave you just is an update on the Bridge 122 down on Mount Liberty Road that we did the emergency closure on. So I went ahead and printed off another photo again just as a reminder, because I guess there's been some conversations going on over the last couple of weeks of why we closed it, because there's really no need to close it. So they've been blaming us for why we need to close it. So I gave you the picture again that showed the big holes in the beams, and that's exactly why we closed it, because it fell below the state and federal weight limit requirements to stay open. So when the beams are rusted out and will not carry a load.
The holes in the beam, that's not normal?
That's not normal. Thank you. So yes, so
that was a follow-up, a detailed inspection after we did our bridge inspection back in October, which is done by USI, and Sherry happens to be here today, who's with USI. So they had a contract with us to do for 30 days to give us a proposal, proposed bid specs and a design for how to fix it. So the little handout I gave you is just a few pages out of the 86-page document. I figured you didn't need the whole document. So we are ready with your approval. We have it set up as an emergency so we can do quotes. So we just need to notify at least three contractors capable of doing the work. So I went through my file and came up this morning with a list of 9 contractors that I'm going to notify. They're all bridge contractors, and they all hold state pre-qualifications. So they're all already pre-qualified to do this type of work. So our proposed structure is to tear those rotted steel beams off, replace it with precast, pre-stressed concrete beams, and then new wiring surface and a guardrail. So it'll be a quick replacement, try and get it back open as soon as we can. So what I now have set up, and this will be for the auditor's office too, for the next meeting for April the 17th, is we will open those quotes at your next meeting on the 17th at 6 o'clock. And then we should be able to review them and make an award at that time and keep moving on. So at the next meeting, we should be able to move forward with that.
And how long has that bridge been there? I know it's been there a long time, but did this bridge get rebuilt like 17 or 20 years ago? Because looking at this picture, that concrete looks pretty good.
The concrete is actually older. They actually put these replacement beams and that open grid deck on it, and the beams have failed in about 15 years. Which is way too soon.
Is the concrete good?
The concrete abutments are good. We're going to reuse those.
Okay, that was good.
So that'll speed it up.
When it was originally built, but at some point in time, probably only 10, 12 years ago, it had the steel grate put on it.
Yeah, it was about 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But it should have lasted a whole lot longer than that. But it is what it is, and so we'll fix it right this time.
And we'll get it done as soon as possible.
Yeah. I don't think we need to make a motion because you already voted to do an emergency, so we'll just have it at the next meeting, and then we'll review contractor quotes at the next meeting.
Works for me.
Chad, that next meeting is April 16th.
No, our commissioner meetings, they have a special meeting on the 16th. Our commissioner meeting is the 17th.
Thank you.
It's Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah. So, okay, then the next item, we're in the process mid-cycle for the grant paving. We already put those notices out. I had 4 responses, which are from our 4 major paving contractors, Milestone E&B, Dave O'Meara, and All-Star, all requested the bid packages. So those bids are also due in the next meeting on April the 17th. So we'll have 2 projects to open up at the next meeting. That process is going along fine. I did unofficially hear we were told at Road School that they should put out the notice of who got the awards by April 1, and that didn't happen. So the word on the street now unofficially is it'll happen mid next week. So we'll see if that happens.
Okay.
But they are going to have the governor's involved in it. So there'll be a photo op and a special meeting, and then we'll find out.
A great big check.
Yeah.
Photo ops.
Yeah. So if they're not in your community, you don't get the cardboard check anymore. So, but we've gotten a couple of those over the years. So yeah. As long as we get the actual electronic transfer of the money, they can keep the cardboard check.
That's right.
Although it is a good photo op. We'll make up our own. Okay. And then a couple of things I had for you. Of course, everybody's familiar with the storm that we had earlier this week, Monday night into Tuesday morning, and we spent all day yesterday and got the crew out all day today and probably do the same thing tomorrow. Not only did we have trees down and into power lines, but one of our bigger problems was that with that horrendous rain that we had, it washed all the leaves off the hillsides and plugged up about 2/3 of the culverts in the county. So we've been doing culvert clean out and ditch rebuilding and actually started regrading some of the gravel roads this morning. So
I had mentioned the Sally Port being flooded. That's a whole different thing.
Well, it actually wasn't the Sally Port.
It was actually the security entrance.
Okay.
And a big part of the reason, because I had our maintenance guy go look at, is our landscaper had just put new landscaping in and mulched it. Well, all that rain washed the mulch into that, I think it's called French drain or whatever. It's a round, right in front.
That's all you had to say, French drain. Explain.
Right in front of the security entrance. And no water was going in. Instead, it was just going everywhere, including under the door into the security entrance. So it remains to be seen whether that drain is actually big enough. Some suggested that maybe it wasn't, but no drain's going to work right when it's clogged up with mulch. So
it's kind of like our culverts. If they're plugged, the water's going to go out in the roof.
He cleaned it out. Chris Grimes, bless his heart, came out after work yesterday at my request and checked it out and cleaned it out and reported back to me within an hour and a half. So
fantastic.
It should be working now unless more mulch runs in from another toad strangler rain.
And hopefully we won't have any more of those here in the near future.
Exactly.
Okay, a couple of items for you. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that our newer John Deere grader that was still under warranty had thrown some air codes and the dealer was going to come over and work on it. They've been doing that all, this is the third day they've been on the site, so they ended up, not to get into too many details, but they actually ended up on the diesel replacing all the injectors and the injector pump under warranty, which is good because we still have 351 days left in our warranty. So they spent late yesterday afternoon and all day today now trying to reprogram all the computer systems to match the new parts that we're putting in to get everything keyed back in the way it should be. So hopefully today that'll be fixed and operable again. But at least it happened under warranty, because that's thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And it just didn't part.
Injectors are not expensive.
So, and plus the labor, 3 days of labor with two mechanics, and that gets expensive from their end. Okay, and then the other one I had for you, if you have not heard yet, out 46 East, just this side of Hoover Road, the bridge, if they haven't, I don't think they've started putting up signs yet. But the notice came out from NDOT that on or after next Wednesday, that will be put down to stop lights in one lane to do one of the deck seal coat projects. So look for traffic delays going to Columbus for probably a couple of months.
That is postponed after the
day.
That's the 10th. They're starting on or after the 10th. Yes, so it's after the eclipse. And the 135 South was supposed to be open yesterday afternoon, and I don't know for sure whether it was or not, but I know that area was also flooded last night, so if they may be redoing all their finish grade and seed work again, so since it got flooded. I actually tracked the app of the flood gauge down by CBS on 46 at the bridge. 14 foot on the gauge is pretty much top of bank, and we hit 13.92. So it crested, we actually did a double peak crest yesterday afternoon, then about 6 o'clock last night, but it pretty much stayed just barely. If it came out of banks at all, it wasn't much, so we got lucky there that Monroe was down and there was a place for the water to go. So there wasn't any real major flooding other than the slabs on 135, which, you know, always flood real easy. So we did get one call in the office from a couple who had just moved here and bought a house in December of last year and called wanting to know why we didn't do something about the water across the road. And, well, first off, it's a state highway, and second off, it's not our responsibility if you bought a house in December to take care of whether you can get in there and out or not, unfortunately. So we tried to do a little education with her to the alternate routes to get in and out. And if you have any other questions, please call the Seymour District, because that's a state highway. It's not our responsibility. So other than that, unless you have any questions, that's all I have.
There's one more thing on there, isn't there?
Oh, yep. On the...
Before we move ahead, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to see if you're going to get to the bike lane signage.
That's what we were just going to talk about.
Yeah.
Actually, we're not ready to do the final submittal on that yet. We're still looking at some of the design parameters, and then we need a legal review, So we'll try and get that all wrapped up. And then Mr. Brown and I, we're going to get together, and we haven't set a meeting yet to do that. So we'll try and get that all wrapped up before the next meeting.
we need a motion to table the bike lane signage, or?
I think it's just a discussion item, so we haven't really discussed any details, so.
Okay.
So is there any chance that we can have, since the bike lanes are so important, is there any way we can just make all roads bike lanes and divert all traffic other than bikes on that, or no?
My suggestion would be no, because I think you're opening up a giant can of worms.
I'm just kicking in.
Right now, you can ride a bike on any road in the county or on a state highway. It's just the issue of whether you can take up the whole lane, and then we also have a double yellow center line, so it's illegal to pass anybody.
We can in town, you know, they got this.
Because their rooms aren't straight.
Gotcha.
So if, say, for instance, Greasy Creek, that has a double yellow center line all the way from Highway Garage all the way to 135 North, yep, or 4.5 miles, it is illegal. The sheriff's department could cite somebody for passing on a double yellow line if you try to go out around any other lane and go around a bicycle.
So let me ask you this.
So we need some legal advice.
Let me ask you this. Since, you know, we're making quite a few allowances for bikes, which, you know, I love, because my son actually won the Rural 500 one year. So, I mean, I'm all jiggy with bikes. But then people get snarly when you're talking about putting anything else on the highway. Well, there's nothing more tenuous than having a bicycle in front of you. Now, if you had an ATV in front of you, would that be worse than having a bicycle? I mean, this is rhetorical.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for
a lot of speed related, but, you know, especially going uphill. And I actually got behind a single bike rider just earlier this week on Helmsburg Hill.
Haven't we all?
Probably 1 mile an hour going up the hill.
Haven't we all?
So, you know.
But when going downhill, though, and you've done that too, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
All I'm saying is I'm just trying to open up the idea that we're making so many allowances for one mode of transportation that we ought to kind of invest ourselves in other modes as well.
That's kind of where it's not to get too one-sided, but, you know, we've had a group that I would classify as a special interest group, which are the bike riders, mountain bike club, who want a special approval to be able to ride on. They already can ride on the road. They just want to be able to take up the whole lane legally, which there's some state codes that say they can do that. But you have to also use some common sense that if you're on a bicycle,
there's an option.
If you're a group of bicycles and you're riding 5 or 10 miles an hour, which is riding less than the legal speed limit, mm-hmm, there are also traffic codes that say if you're running like a farmer with a tractor and a wagon, if you're running less than the speed limit and traffic backs up behind you, you're supposed to pull over and get out of the way. But I haven't seen too many bicycles that will do that.
Thank you for your input there.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And our farm equipment has to have a slow-moving vehicle sign displayed, mm-hmm, on the back of it.
And lights after dark.
So
there are just a lot of issues. So we just want to look at it from what's good and safe and legal from the county standpoint, so we don't get ourselves in trouble.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Anything else for the highway? Pretty much covered it. But we need to make a motion, second, and vote. Do we not? On the first issue?
What's next, though?
The bridge, it's already been done.
You already passed the emergency procedure for the bridge, so we're already good to go ahead and do the quotes.
I was talking about the bids. We're going to receive bids.
Oh, on the paving? Yeah, you already did that at the last meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they just had a 30-day window on the paving, since it had to be official bids. So it'll come out the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you don't need to vote on anything else.
So there wasn't anything else on the road work we needed?
No. No, you don't need to vote on anything today.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
What you do.
Thank you.
Now the sheriff.
Okay, so right now we're working with the sheriff's department on getting their lease agreement for their vehicles that they finally got this year. In stating that they are fully equipped and they are ready to go and they are here, we're working on the lease agreement because we need to get plates. So working with the loan request summary company, as you can see in front of you in the summary, that that's the total amount. This is just a draft. Brad, you want to take it from there, and then I'll give the line numbers?
Yeah, so we were able to purchase one vehicle outright. We had the money for that after a total. If you see here, and this is one of the reasons why, if we can get to the point where we don't have to lease, you look at the finance charge right there, mm-hmm. that's over three quarters of a new vehicle.
Right.
Fully equipped. So if we can start trying to move past the leasing, I think we would save the county a lot of money in the future. That being said, these are the three vehicles that we got picked up through John Jones. It's a new place we're working with. They're down in Salem, Indiana. They do a fantastic job. When we pick the cars up that day, they are ready to go to work. They can come home and go to work that day, which has been an issue for us. We literally just got one done a week ago that had sat on our lot for over a year trying to get it upfitted. And so we lost a year's warranty and just sits there and does nothing for us. And it's a pain in the butt to shuffle them around and get them where they need to be. So we went to John Jones. This is the lease agreement. Took us a little bit to get everything worked out, ironed out. Mm-hmm. I think we got it now. And so the money's there.
Yes.
I don't think we're that far off from maybe if we looked around to try to maybe even pay them off from what we were looking at some of the budget stuff. So.
Yeah. So I'll let you go. I was just going to talk about the two lines because we'll have to use two lines this time. And the reason why we're doing this, normally we would just pay them. But the lease company requires this to be a notation in your minutes. So you will have to make a motion and a second, and you'll have to vote it through just so they can have it in the meeting minutes after you approve them next time that goes to the actual leasing company.
Okay, let me get caught up here real quick. Says total number of payments, 4. It sounds like we're buying 3 cars. The total amount of payments, the $200,000. We've already paid for 1, so we only have
to
pay.
That's
not. No, we have 4.
You got 3 lease.
Three lease
plus the paying for 1.
Right. Yeah.
Already paid for.
It's already paid for.
Yep. Because last year they didn't have any leases. We didn't get any new cars. So, except
we
for the 1.
We did. We paid them.
Right, and didn't lease them.
So if we've already paid for 1, then how can it be $200,000? Or is that in the $200,000?
We have 3 lease. We got 4.
4 together.
We got 4. 1 was paid for because we had a total. We had money to pay for that one.
And that one's set for a year.
No.
That's another one.
There's another one.
Yeah. That was from the lease from Fletcher. From
2021.
So you tell me these numbers are correct, Melissa, and Brad, you're telling me the numbers are correct, and Auditor, you're telling me these numbers are correct.
Yes, for the 3 that we need to lease that we just got from John Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. And when I get 2 or 3 more sold, I've got another $29,000 check. I want to go ahead and order another one that would try to get us caught back up. We have 2 Fords sitting over there that are blowing up right now. One of them sitting over there is one that almost killed Mike Moore. And so we're going to sell it, but we have to put a disclaimer on it, and we probably won't get much for it.
That's right.
And what I might add to that is Melissa and I met with a gentleman from Fleet Management, Enterprise Fleet Management, that does this stuff. And he had a lot of good information that may or may not apply to us, but what we decided is we would try and get the sheriff and everybody else that has vehicles in together to have him put the whole spiel on. But, I mean, there's so many bells and whistles on this, as you know, Sheriff, that any help we can get. So, anyhow, we didn't do anything other than listen to his pitch and said, okay, we need to get all the interested parties involved, and so I feel like that we're going to try and do that.
Right.
So that you guys can all have an input on what's going to be the best for the county.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, we all understand the financial crunch that we're under, but if we can get past this leasing thing, it would benefit all of us so much. Just to note that, tomorrow is William Poole's last day. He's leaving from Monroe County. This week, I've been notified. On Monday, I have a sergeant, my other road sergeant, put in from Bartholomew County, and today I got notified by another officer that's put in from Bartholomew County. Their process closes and starts on April 15th. So I'm going to be in dire straits. I end up in a situation just like Washington County. So you know.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks.
I need to approve the lease arrangement.
So it would be for, do you want me to read their VIN numbers and the lines we're going to take them out of, and then that can be
amended? That's what's going to make it legal.
Okay, all right. So they're the Sheriff Interceptor's lease agreement. As you have in front of you, the loan request summary draft. I already have texted to Mike that I will be sending these to him. It is for Dodge Durango, VIN number ending in 590944. Dodge Durango, VIN number ending in 577388. Dodge Ram, VIN number ending in 575462. We will be taking the money that has already been approved by County Council budget for the 2024 1170 Lit Public Safety County Share Line, 43101, $39,600, and the remaining amount of $10,429 will come out of the lease line, 43401.
Question. So the four payments, are they, they're all equal amounts, roughly?
Yeah, they'll be equal. I think usually the last one's a little less.
Yeah.
But they'll be $50,029.06. We'll have one due, looks like 4/3/24 will be the first distribution date. So we'll be getting, he said that that'll come in and there won't be penalty fees because they just handed this to us today. On today.
So basically, a $50,000 payment for 4 years gets us the three cars. So.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I agree. I wish we could just pay for them because of the interest. The interest rates are up, or 7.9%. So
I think
we do the best we can with what we got. And this is the way we get new cars that are desperately needed.
Right.
Well, I
feel like that what we talked about with this guy, he knows that because he works with Morgan County, all the northern counties, and that's what they did. And sometimes you just can't have somebody go down there and oversee a renovation of the courthouse that doesn't have the ability to know what they're doing. You need to have a specific individual that is, his expertise is in that area. And so that's the reason I'd love to have you guys in a room and see if this is going to be something that's going to help the county and you and the sheriff's department specifically. Because, you know, obviously you're the biggest fleet management issue we have.
Yep.
But make sure you're happy.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Okay.
You will also see that there's an email from you. This company also would like to have your ID and a number from you. So if you don't mind, I already have Jerry's, the other two would get to me.
Do you have a form for that?
Nope. I just an email request.
It's fine.
Your team for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Just one other question, I guess. It looks like we're going to have to take out a Penn Oil obligation bond if we're going to go new prosecutor's office and fix courthouse and so forth. And I wondered where we might be in that if we started or where we are.
So that will be with Greg Garitas. He is now in contract with us in place of Baker Tilly. So I would say that if you guys are ready to entertain that, that we probably should sit down one-on-one as commissioners with your financial advisor, slash you will also be doing all the process of the bond issue, and get that started, I would think, as soon as possible.
I think we kind of held off on that because of folks are getting the Stellar grant, but we're not going to be getting that because we didn't apply for it. So we're just going to have to borrow the money to fix this stuff. I hate borrowing money as bad as anybody. I hate paying interest. It won't be as cheap this time as it was the last time. There's no more 0.9%.
Well, and that's where we have to remember that when we actually put together the projects that you want to do and how much money that you want to borrow in order to stay tax neutral, we're going to have to look at what those interest rates are and how much money can you borrow on that interest rate and still stay. So there'll be a budgeted line this time. It won't just be, here's the money and then make out a list what you're going to use it for. We're going to have to really do a real good job at doing the scope of business and what we're using the money for and how it's going to be funded.
So that would be a puzzle to work out.
Yes.
I will say for the record that I will not agree to raise taxes on anybody in this county any further than they are.
Thank you.
And we'll just have to live within the means we have. We may not be able to do some things we want to do, but that's life.
That's life. That's right. That's what we have to do.
Okay, legal. Mike, you got any wisdom for us?
No additional news. Just good luck with the eclipse next week.
Okay, we need it. Thank you, sir. Is there anything else to come before the Board of Commissioners today? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. For a second?
I second.
Okay. All right. On favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for joining us today here in person. And for those that joined us via the internet, have a wonderful day.